الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما يوفى الصابرون أجرهم بغير حساب صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله all praises are for Allah عز وجل Allah سبحانه وتعالى our creator our nourisher Allah سبحانه وتعالى who has been extremely kind to us Allah سبحانه وتعالى who is اللطيف الودود the loving creator And out of his love and compassion he has for us, he continues to bless us in many different ways. And for these, we ought to be grateful to Allah for all these blessings that he continues to give to us. Allah, by sending the messenger of his messenger, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has shown us the true path and the straight path. Each and every one of us as human beings, we expect to and we wish that in everything that we do on the face of the earth we should be successful, we should be happy, the results of what we are doing, it should be good. Every single person who does that, whatever a person gets involved in, whatever a person is doing, he does not go into anything whatsoever hoping to be affected in different ways that he regrets that he has made such a decision. Even if a person goes into marriage, he hopes and he prays and he expects that marriage that he has gotten into, it is a good marriage. It is one that will bring barakah and blessings in his life. It is one that will make him happy. And he does not go into a marriage hoping and expecting to see trouble. But he goes into that expecting that which is good. If he is doing a job, similarly he expects that the work that he is doing, it is good. The outcome is good. The result is good. That he will be satisfied and contented with this. If he is opening a business, he does not think in his heart that he will fail in his business, but he hopes that by opening a business and by going into something that, you know, he thought in his mind would have been good, he will prosper. This is why when he fails or anyone fails in life, then those who fail in life begin to retract and they begin to look back to see where they went wrong. They begin to ask themselves as to whether they made good decisions or bad decisions. They look for answers as to where things went wrong and why this has happened and why that has happened. And in the looking and in the searching, often blame comes upon another person or blame comes on another thing. And that sometimes happens to be, in fact, most of the time, a trialing period for a servant of Allah. And the reason it is a trialing period is because of the fact that we all as Muslims believe as a fundamental article of our faith and our deen and our Islam that good and bad both emanate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Success and failure, they all come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the beautiful book of Aqidah written by Imam Abu Hanifa, that is Fiqh al-Akbar, the great scholar of Hadith Mullah Ali Qari, while explaining about man achieves his actions but Allah is the Khaliq and the creator of the actions, and while explaining that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created every single thing, Mullah Ali Qari goes down to explain that everything that we understand from this statement is not only about the material, tangible, physical things that we see, and we acknowledge that Allah has created them. So we look at the sky and we say, well, Allah has created the sky. We look at the oceans and we say, well, Allah has created the oceans. We look at ourselves and we say, Allah has created us. Allah has created every single thing around us. From the things we drink, from the things we eat, from the things we use and we utilize, we acknowledge and we see these things to be existing physically. So it's very easy for us to look at these things and say, well, Allah has created that. He says, but you should know also that Allah has created your emotions. You cry because Allah has created crying in you. Allah has created your happiness. You are happy because Allah has created happiness in you. You feel sad because Allah has created sadness. And Allah has created sadness to be connected with things that make you sad. So the causes for sadness have been coupled by Allah to work together hand in hand. And Allah has created smile and the act of smiling to be connected with when one receives his favors. And this is why Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he spoke about Allah in the Holy Quran, and he was reflecting on what those idols cannot do and what his Lord can do, he says, Allah is the one who makes me laugh. Allah is the one who makes me cry. Allah is the one who makes me happy. Allah is the one who makes me sad. Allah is the one who feeds me. Allah is the one who gives me to drink. And all these different things he was saying to the people at his time, that all the different names that you worship, they cannot do that. So therefore, even our feelings. So which brings us to believe that success and failure, they are also created by Allah. So if you do something and you fail, that failure has been created by Allah, and that failure has been decided by Allah. And if you succeed, then Allah is the one who has created success, and he has made you succeed. Every single thing has been created by Allah. And by sending this beautiful way of life and religion that Allah has given to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted to us through all the passages of the Holy Quran, from the very beginning to the end, that you will enjoy good and you will continue to enjoy my blessings as long as you continue to live in accordance to the way that I have sent for you. If you turn away from that a bit and you begin to reap difficulties, then the difficulties that will come to you, the hardships that will come to you, and the sufferings that will come to you, it will be, although is like Allah is saying, although I have created it, it will be based on your own achievement through your actions. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent by Allah to show us what Allah wants from us, to show us not only those things that are connected to rituals and those things that we must do in order to achieve blessings, in order to gain closeness to Allah. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also sent with the mission to present a code of conduct and a way of life that is called the Sharia, which incorporates in it the things that we must do and the things we cannot do, and the things when we do them, they will be called haram, unlawful, unlawful, illegal in the sight of Allah. So it goes to show us that a person must not think that the good things that he's doing, he will continue to build upon the good things. He will continue to build upon good things, which has been explained in the teachings, that it takes one closer to Allah and it brings about blessings. But it is equal to the individual that while doing good things, it is farz upon him to refrain from every single thing that Allah has outlined as being unlawful and haram. So therefore, while doing that which is good, he must also steer away from everything that it has been decreed as being unlawful in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the doing of both these things, then and only then a person will be sad to have a, let's say, practice upon the deen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Now, there is a beautiful tradition which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the words of it he has mentioned to a person, and it is based upon the advice he has given to a companion by the name of Jabir bin Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala, and a very beautiful tradition which has a wealth of knowledge, understanding, and it makes us understand that the things that we see as small and insignificant is really extremely grave and big in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jabir bin Sulaym narrates, he says, once I came to a gathering of people, he was a non-Muslim at that time, Imam Abu Dawood has recorded the tradition. He says, I came to a gathering, I was a non-Muslim, I did not know what was going on. He says, فَرَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا يَسْدُرُ النَّاسُ عَنْ رَعِيهِ, and I saw people were flocking around him from all different sides. They were coming to consult with him and they were taking whatever he said to them. وَلَا يَقُولُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا صَدَرَ عَنْهُ, and he did not utter a single thing except they took it from him, they grasped it from him, and they went on. And they were coming and going. He said, when I saw that the people were flocking around this person, I said to the people in the gathering, man hadha, who is this man there? Qalu, those who were around him said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this person is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I looked for a while, and I saw something special about this person. I did not know about Islam at that time. Light beaming. His face was shining, glittering. And something was special. So after everybody had gone, I went to him and I said, Alayka salam ya Rasulullah. Alayka salam ya Rasulullah. Upon you be peace, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reply. For the second time he said, Alayka salam ya Rasulullah. Upon you be peace, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned to him and says, La taqul alayka salam. Do not say alayka salam. Fa inna alayka salam tahiyatul mayyit. For the greeting of alayka salam, it is the greeting to the deceased and dead people. Don't say that. Qul assalamu alayka, but you should instead say assalamu alayka. Don't say the word alayka before salam when you are greeting each other. When you are greeting each other from among the living people and your brothers, you should say assalam first and alayka or alaykum after, by saying assalamu alayka or assalamu alaykum. The deceased people, you can put alayka first, alayka assalam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him. The first thing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know him, and he did not know if he was a Muslim or not, but he corrected him immediately in a very beautiful way. And on this, the fuqaha and the muhaddisin have written a lot to show one that which is known as deen and Islam is only that which came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because if we look at the literal meaning of alayka salam and assalamu alayka, basically they have the same meaning. They have the same meaning. Alayka means upon you, assalam means greetings and peace. Assalam means peace, greetings, alayka means upon you. Whether you put it before or after, it has the same literal meaning. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was telling him that out of your own, you know, understanding, you may think it is right, but in deen it's not right. Deen is what I teach you. And my sunnah is not to say alayka salam. My sunnah is to say assalamu alayka wa assalamu alaykum. You do this, and this is the sunnah, and this is the deen. And in this regard, they have also mentioned many other things where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, although what they were saying or what they were doing seemed to be something which was not on Islamic and haram, but yet, because it was not in accordance to what he taught them, He corrected them, changed them, and said, this is not what I taught you. Do that which I have mentioned before. That is my sunnah, and that is the way. So the person, after hearing that, he said, Anta Rasulullah, are you the messenger of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ana Rasulullah, I am the messenger of Allah, الذي إذا أصابك ضر فدعوته كشفه عنك. He says, I am the messenger of that Allah, that whenever calamity touches you and you pray to him, he removes the calamity from you. وإذا أصابك عام سنة فدعوته أنبتها لك. He says, and when a year of drought or famine touches you and you pray to that Allah, he causes the crops to grow for you again. I am the servant of that Allah. وَإِذَا كُنْتَ بِأَرْضِ قَفَرٍ أَوْ فَلَاتٍ. And I am that servant, I am the servant of that Allah, that when you are in the desert or you are on a deserted land, فَضَلَّتْ رَحِلَتُكَهَا, and your animal and transport becomes lost, فَدَعَوْتَهُ رَدَّهَا عَلَيْكَ, and then you pray to that Allah, that is the same Allah that returns to you your animal. I am the servant of that Allah. What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was putting across to him is a very important message. And it is so because the Arabs at that time, before they accepted Islam, from among the Quraysh tribe and the other Arabs who were mushrikeen and pagans, they will worship their Lat and Uzza and Manat and their idols on a daily basis. But anytime they were struck with a heavy calamity or difficulty, they will call on only one person, Allah. Only they will forget on all, they will forget all the names they used to worship. They will forget all the idols and the deities they used to worship. When they were in a situation that they really, really needed help, they will not call on Lat or Uzza or Manat. They will not call on any name, but they will call on only one person, Allah. The Quran says, وَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And when they will ride their boats, and they will be in the middle of the ocean, and they are surrounded by danger, and they are seeing that they can become drowned, and they will be destroyed, and there is no way out, and they realize that the Lat and the Uzza and the Manat is not coming to the help, they will immediately turn to Allah in all sincerity, begging and promising Allah, oh Allah, please, we beg you, only if you put us ashore, you will see how good we'll be, and we'll begin to believe in you. And the Holy Quran, Allah says that about every time they are caught with a difficulty that they cannot get out, دَعَوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, they will turn to Allah, and they will beg Allah, and they will cry before Allah. They will be sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet wanted to tell Jabir bin Sulaim, that you know that Allah you people call when you are really in distress, and that Allah you people call when you are affected with a real, real big calamity, and that Allah that bails you out when you are in all these troubles. Well, I am not the messenger of your Lat who can't help you, and your Manat and Uzza that cannot help you. I am the servant of that Allah that you call when you are in difficult situations, and you believe that that Allah helps you. I am the servant of that Allah. That was the message he was given. When Jabir bin Sulaim heard that and understood what he was saying, he immediately accepted Islam. He had no doubts that this was really the messenger of Allah. He immediately accepted Islam, and he said, "Ah, hidi layya ya Rasulullah, some messenger of Allah, please give me some advice. I am a new Muslim now. Give me some advice." Now here is a situation that this person is a new Muslim. What advice will you give? And what advice the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to him? If you put yourself in a practical situation, and many of you and us, we have been. Someone accepted Islam, says, tell me now as a Muslim what I need to do. The first thing we highlight, Salat is compulsory 5 times a day. You have to get up in the morning. And then when the month of Ramadan comes, you have to fast. And then you have to pay zakat. And these are the things that we will understand naturally that we have to say. But the question is, what were the beautiful advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Understanding he was a messenger of Allah, understanding this man now is a new Muslim. So he said, now that he's a Muslim, he said, oh messenger of Allah, please give me some advice. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did give him some advice. And the first thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told this person who is new to Islam, he said, listen to me well, learn what I'm saying and practice on it. He says, لَا تَسُبَّنَّ أَحَدًا. Do not ever abuse or curse anybody. Subhanallah. First advice, number one advice. First speech and lesson of the Rasul enter in the heart of Jabir bin Sulaym as a Muslim. He was a few seconds ago. What is he hearing? لَا تَسُبَّنَّ أَحَدًا. Do not ever abuse or curse anyone. Do not do that. Jabir swallowed that statement. It went to the depths of his heart and it brought about ikhlas in his amal to the extent that he himself says in the riwayat, فَمَا سَبَبْتُ بَعْدَهُ. I never ever cursed or abused anyone after that. لَا حُرًّا. I never cursed a free man. وَلَا عَبْدًا. I never cursed and abused a slave. وَلَا بَعِيرًا وَلَا شَاتًا. I never cursed a camel or even a sheep. Not a human being, not an animal I ever cursed based on that teaching of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Said, I never heard. I never did that because mine Rasul, whom I believed in, told me, do not curse anyone. Even the animals did not get mine curse. And you know, on one occasion, the riwayat states, subhanallah, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala became angry with his slave on one occasion and he started to use some words that amounted to abusive language. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard that, he became very angry. He turned to him. He says, la'inina wa siddiqina kalla wa rabbil kaaba. He says, an abuser and a truthful one mixing in one person, by the Lord of the Kaaba, this can never happen. Allah has made you siddiq. How can you become la'inin? How you can become la'in and la'an? This cannot happen. You are truthful, Abu Bakr. It should never happen to do that you begin to curse and abuse other people. A curser and a siddiq cannot come together in one person. It's just like the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, La imana liman la amanata lahu. There is no iman for a person who is not trustworthy. In other words, he says, how can it ever happen that you are a believer but you are yet not trustworthy? So amanat and iman comes together. So he said to Abu Bakr, he says, cursing and abusing and siddiq, he says, this cannot happen. So therefore, the first lesson he gave to him, he says, La tasubbanna ahadan, do not ever abuse and curse anybody. He went further to say, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلَا تَحْكِرَنَّ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ. And do not ever consider any good deed to be insignificant. Do not consider any small deed to be insignificant, because you do not know which good deed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept and give you paradise. You do not know which good deed. So do not consider any small good deed to be insignificant. Imam Bukhari has recorded so many different traditions. Imam Bukhari has recorded tradition about this woman who used to sell her body, the prostitute, that Allah gave her Jannat because she gave a thirsty dog water to drink. Imam Bukhari has recorded that tradition. Obviously, if you are passing by and you see a dog that is thirsty, no one will think that this is any big thing, that if you give some water to the dog, you will get so much blessings. But this person did it, and Allah accepted that good deed to the extent that Allah gave her Jannat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the hadith in Riyadh al-Salihin, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw a man in Jannat. I asked Jibreel alayhi salam what good deed the man did in order to get Jannat. Jibreel alayhi salam said, this man was walking along on a path one day, and there was a tree, the branches of which was extended on the corridor on the pathway. The trees contained thorns in them, the branches, thorn that affected people. So the man said to himself, Hadha yu'dhinnas, the thorns of the branches affecting people, let me remove it. He went home, he took a knife, he cut off the branches, and he made it easy for people. The Prophet said, because of that, I saw that man roaming about in Jannah. Jibreel says, because of that, he got what? Jannah. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, it is narrated in the seerah, the biography of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, that his students have written, One of his most famous pupil and student said, I saw my ustaz Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in Jannah. And I said to him, O Imam, on account of what deed did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you entrance in paradise? He said, Ishtaraytul Jannata bidirhamaini. I purchased paradise for 2 dirhams. I purchased paradise for 2 dirhams. He says, Ustaz, how did that happen? He says, once I remembered in my life, this happened. So what he was relating in the dream, but it's connected to an action he did in his life. He said, on one occasion, I was close to the riverside. I was on one side. And I heard a person on the other side who sneezed. And when a person sneezes and he says, Alhamdulillah, then the sunnah of the Rasul is to say, Yarhamukallah. He says, so the man sneezed. And if I had replied to him, he could not hear me. So I saw a boat that was carrying passengers. And I went onto that boat and paid 2 dirhams to reach to the man. He says, I reached to the man. I said to him in front of him, Yarhamukallah. And then I left and I came back. He says, Allah loved that deed so much. He granted me paradise for that. So therefore, the Prophet is saying, وَلَا تَحْقِرَنَّ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ. And do not ever consider any small deed to be insignificant. No man knows what small good deed Allah will accept and give a person paradise for that. He said also to the person, he says, وَأَنْتَ كَلَّمْ أَخَاقَ وَأَنْتَ مُبْسِطٌ إِلَيْهِ وَجْهَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ. He says, the other advice I give to you, Jabir, is that when you speak to your brother, speak to him with a pleasing and smiling face. وَأَنْتَ كَلَّمْ أَخَاكَ وَأَنْتَ مُبْسِطٌ إِلَيْهِ وَجْهَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ. He says, when you speak to your brother, let there be a smile on your face. Do not speak to him that your face is rough and it is sour and it is dry. The man will think that maybe he has done something wrong to you. This is why you are showing him this expression. Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, he narrates a tradition. He says, I have never ever seen the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when I looked at his face except he was smiling. Subhanallah. I have never found his face in a way that he did not smile with anybody. He was always smiling. And he says, this is from a good deed when you meet a person and you speak to a person and you show a smiling face. He says, this is from a good deed. Then another important thing he says, وَرْفَعْ إِزَارَكَ إِلَى نِسْفِ السَّاقَيْنِ. He says, Jabir, lift your lower garment, whether it is a pants, whether it is a lungi, anything that covers the lower portion of the body from the waist downwards. He says, lift it to half of your shin. فَإِنْ أَبَيْتَ. And if you cannot do it, فَإِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, then lift it over the ankles. He says, وَإِيَّاكَ وَإِسْبَالِ الْإِزَارِ. He says, beware of covering your ankle and allowing your trousers and the clothing that you wear in the lower garment, you know, as the lower garment. He says, beware of allowing that to drag or cover the ankles. فَإِنَّهَا مِنَ الْمَخِيلَةِ. For this is on account of pride, arrogance, and haughtiness. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمَخِيلَ. And certainly Allah does not love pride, arrogance, and haughtiness. He says, so do that. Do not ever allow your trousers or the pants to cover it. This is why all the scholars have stated that it's totally haram. And sometimes an explanation may be given that, okay, if you have pride, then that is disallowed. But if you have no pride in your heart and you are sincere and it drops over the ankles, there is no harm. Mullah Ali Qari has mentioned and other muhaddisin have mentioned. He says, if you look, the only one person you can say that never had pride in his heart was the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that yet the Rasul didn't cover his ankles. So he was without pride day and night. And if this explanation is correct, then he would have allowed it to fall over the ankle because he did not have pride. But he never did it. And he says, stay away from that. And the last advice he gave to Jabir bin Sulaim, he says, وَإِنِ مِرْعُنْ شَتَمَكَ أَوْ عَيَّرَكَ بِمَا يَعْلَمُ فِيكَ. If any person abuses you or curses you with that which he knows that it is in you, a fault, a defect, a wrong, a sin that you have committed, and he knows that that is in you, and so he abuses you, and he condemns you, and he curses you. The Prophet says, فَلَا تُعَيِّرْهُ بِمَا تَعْلَمُ فِيهِ. You should not in return abuse him of that which you know in him. Subhanallah. You should never do that. So he comes to you and he starts to curse you and abuse you, and you are like this and you are like that. You know, and so many names he uses for you, because these things are to be found in you, or because he saw you doing it, and he begins to speak to you in this manner. So he's abusing you of that which is in you. The Prophet says, in return, do not abuse him with that which you know in him. فَلَا تُعَيِّرْهُ بِمَا تَعْلَمُ فِيهِ. Do not do that. فَإِنَّ وَبَالَ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِ. For what he is doing, the destruction of that will come upon him, and it wouldn't come upon you. So if he wishes to do that, let him do it and be accountable to Allah. You should not join him in doing what he's doing, so that you will have to be punished for that also. So this hadith, subhanallah, it is a very, very great hadith. It is filled with so many explanations that pages, over 100, 200 pages have been written based on this hadith alone. But time does not allow us, but the hadith itself, the words of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is sufficient for us. What he told us, and more important for us to understand, is just imagine, this person now accepted Islam. And the fact that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has indicated to these teachings alone shows how important he, the Rasul, viewed these teachings above any other thing. How important he viewed these teachings, that he began by saying, do not abuse, do not curse, do not consider any small good deed to be insignificant. And he continued in this manner until the end. So what is important for us, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters? Simple, short hadith. But if we practice upon this, inshallah, the good which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to us as Muslims will surely come. But these things, as I said in the beginning, it seems to be insignificant, but yet they are very, very significant in the sight of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us onto that which is good, and make, give us the tawfiq, the ability to do that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us to do.